our offering. As your chains fall down, as your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God sings. Our God sings. There is hope in your name. Morning turn to songs of praise. Our God sings. The joyful sound of your offering, as your saints fall down, as your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Yes, the world will see that. Our God sings. Our God sings. Song of praise. Our God sings. Our God sings. Our God sings. Our God sings.
You may be seated. It's good to be back. Did you miss me? Well, I missed you too. A lot of things I've learned the last 2 weeks, not just being gone. It never happens very often where I'm gone. But thankful to those of you that encourage me, go. Get there. It's important. My mom is in the nursing home. We had to move her there. Not because we wanted to. This was something that needed to be done. And she's weak, and you just never know what you're going to get when you're with her. I got a phone call this past week at 10 o'clock. I thought, uh-oh, here it is. It was my mom on the phone. Huh? Oh, did I say? 10 at night. I thought I said 10. Okay, it was 10 in the night before I went to bed because I can't make it past 10 o'clock. Okay, that's the other side of the story. But she's hanging in there. I mean, it's kind of like she calls, and then I called her the next night, and she answered the phone. Sometimes she can't answer the phone. Sometimes she does. You never know. But it's just a whole different ball game what's going on. She's in hospice and all that kind of thing. So appreciate your prayers. Really felt them as we were up there in Garrison. Sharon went with the second time. She wasn't there the first time. And it was just fun to be with Mom, even though I sat by her and held her hand and put my hand on her forehead. And she never talked a whole lot. And if I did ask her a question, she would answer it very short. And I kind of go like, okay, Mom, you're more talkative than this. But that's just the way she's at right now, at 96. So we're still dealing with that, as I know some of you are here dealing with a lot of the same kinds of things too. And it's going to happen. It's just a part of life. And that's why I have to keep telling myself that, as well as my sisters and my brother, to say, it's just going to happen. And this is what happens the older that we get. And the longer that you live, guess what? You hear of people that are your friends and that you know that pass, that they die. It's just important that we know that they love Jesus and they have a relationship with him at that point when it comes. I just said the best is still yet to come. But you have to have that faith and trust in Jesus, and you have to trust in your own kids sometimes that they're going to do what's best for you. So with that to the side, it's good to be back. And did listen to the Zoom as we were coming back across North Dakota last Sunday and heard Dan Winkiewicz, who gave a great message. I know he was talking right to Joe Symington, but, you know, talking about the sheep and the shepherd. You know, I said, well, if Joe hasn't walked out of the church by now, he will pretty soon. But I want to thank Al Lickhart and Patty Griffiths for encouraging me to go, and for Cheryl Hesinius leading the service last Sunday, and Dan Winkiewicz too for speaking, even though you kind of let him speak in the beginning. And that you could get to Esther, but I thought that was very gracious of you to do that and to let him to get over to Estherville like he did as well. So appreciate all that, but a special thank you to Amy Johnson. Amy, are you here? Thank you so much for just the texts. And you did a lot of stuff that was my responsibility when I was gone, and I could just relax knowing that it was all taken care of. But I just want to say a special thanks to you for all that you did. In the 2 weeks that I was gone, I get phone calls when I was up in Garrison, North Dakota. I said, I can't do nothing back here. I'm up there. And so thanks for you that are gracious enough to just kind of let me do my thing up there, because I can't do anything here. But I just say, if you got questions, call the church secretary. But as long as she knows what's going on, she can help you. But if she doesn't know what's going on, then she's like, I'll have to find out. And she starts calling around to find out what's, like, where's the wheelchair? I go, it's always in the foyer. You know? I go, like, but I don't know what happened to it. I said, should be in the, it's probably in the storage room where the blessing box storage room is at. And I think Amy looked in there, wasn't there, but it did show up, and it got, but Amy didn't know. So sometimes just the little things, it's important that's why we need to know what those things are, because people call us and we'd like to say, like, this is where it's at, or who's got it, or what have you. So that's neither here nor there, but thank you, Amy, for all that you've did. And it was very, very well done, if I can say that. Really appreciate what you did. And you did a lot of things that no one else knows about, but I do. So thank you so much for that. Do want to let you know a little bit about Doug Hispy. You know, Idella, who passed away here. Doug, I just talked with him this week. There's still more to this than what I'm going to tell you, but I just want you to know that it's going to be a celebration of life. There's no funeral service, formal funeral service. A celebration of life, which means from noon till 3 o'clock on Saturday, March 15th. You just would be able to meet the family here in the foyer or in the fellowship room, and they're just going to have some coffee, and if you have something you want to share with the family or with Doug about Idella, or there might be something in the fellowship room that will be, let people publicly say what they want to say of how Idella had touched their life or what Idella meant to them, that will probably take place in the fellowship room. But it's kind of one of these things where I go, like, I don't know. But that's kind of what the family wants. I just want you to know, if you come, don't expect there to be a service like we normally would have. This is kind of out of the box. And this is what the family wants. And talking with Doug, that's what he wants. So if you got any questions, you can talk to me later about that, but that's about all I can tell you right now. I'll keep you informed the closer we get to the 15th as far as what will take place and what that means as far as anything to be serving or not. I'm not sure at this point what that will be. So with that being said, I think there are some other things here in the bulletin that I need to say, like, what is today? Who can tell me what it is today? No, it's communion. I knew I was going to get that. I was ready for you. You know, but yeah, it is Super Bowl too. So whatever your plans on today, may you know that the real Super Bowl happens here. This morning, this is the Super Bowl of the week. We have it every Sunday. And may the Lord touch your heart and your life today as only he can, regardless about the Chiefs or the Eagles. But we know that the eagle is one that Isaiah talked about, that we become as strong, or we can move like eagles when we feel like we are so weak and we can't do that. And that's in Isaiah chapter 40 at the very end of that chapter. So I'm glad that you're here. And some of the things that are happening this week, I'm going to say them really fast. Okay, I'm done. That was so fast, I'm done. This Tuesday, we do have church council at 7 o'clock. This coming Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. And you see there that there's also on Tuesday morning, we've got a lot going on Tuesday with a Bible study for the ladies. And they got prayer partners as well as grief share from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. Thank you, Suzanne, for taking care of grief share as well. And it's just, how many are there? About 10? You know, and there's most of them are not from our church. There are people from the area that have been coming. And so I just want to thank the Memorial Committee, making this available, the Grief Share, the workbooks. They're paying for that. And they're making sure that anyone who comes can have a workbook. It costs $20 otherwise, a piece. But the Memorial Fund is taking care of all those costs, so it doesn't cost them anything when they come. If anyone asks, I just say, well, it's $20, but you don't have to pay anything. So I was going to get it down to 10. But you're like, nope, free. If you're dealing with loss in your life and you need some help with that, or you just want to come and be a part of a group that you see that how they're handling things, Tuesdays is really good. This is the next week is four? The fourth video? Okay. There's 13 altogether, but we're in number four come this Tuesday. You can come at any time. You don't have to come at the beginning of it at all. And then we have Wednesday is after the school ministry here at the church from 3:30 to 5 o'clock. You got second year confirmation at 5:30 on Wednesday. And then we have Thursday night, there is read through the Bible. That's at 6:30 with Patty Griffiths is leading that study here at the church at 6:30 in the fireside room. Have a study and a discussion about reading through the Bible in a year, I believe. So, yes, I see that hand back there. She's home with what? The crud, okay. It's better than gout, you know. Jeff Kyle's dealing with gout in Mexico. But pray for Jeff, because I don't know how he's doing, but that's what I heard last night. He's got gout. I told him, eat more Mexican peppers. It'll burn it out, whatever it is. So that's what's happening this coming week. And I never know what's going to happen if I get a phone call about up in Garrison, North Dakota. I can't plan anything really here because I never know when I might get a call and I have to go back up there and take care of business type of a thing too. So I'm just kind of like a boat without an anchor here. I'm just kind of floating around where the wind blows. It's kind of where I'm going. I feel that way as well. Dean Ramsey, I did talk to him this week. There's really no change with his son Rob. At this point in time, he's still in. Rob is still in Las Vegas in a hospital out there, in a rehab hospital. It's his fourth one, his fourth rehab hospital. Doesn't seem to be any change there. Dean and Cheryl are home here in Iowa. Just to let you know that, and so it's a tough thing for them to go through too. With that,
Dean's back there.
What's that? Is Dean here? He is. He just showed up. Hey, Dean, there he is, right there in the back pew. So, I mean, if you want to talk to him later on, you can do that. And thank you for those of you that did Meals on Wheels for the month of January. I appreciate those of you that were part of that. And we got a little thank you from Mandy Roger, who we support in our missions, it's in your bulletin there as well. And you got Quickstar, a car wash. You can talk to Patty Griffiths about that if you need to. And that's all I'm going to say other than If you noticed after refreshments, there's a basket on the table. It's just for a little free will offering that we're finding that people don't sign up to bring something for a Sunday morning. So whatever goes in the basket will be used for cookies or something like that that you can have with coffee. So there's something just to chew on, or it could be something else, I don't know. But that's where it goes. That's what it goes to. And that's not my idea. That was the church council's idea in doing this. And so that's why it's there. And if need be, it'll be used if no one signs up to bring something on a Sunday. So those of you that bring something, I give you two thumbs up. Thanks for doing that. Well, let's pray, and I'll turn it back to the praise band here. Heavenly Father, I guess this settled my heart here this morning. As we come and we know why we are here today, we want to be reminded of why we've come this morning, and that's to see Jesus and to hear what he has to say to us through your word and through the songs. We have communion, Lord, that we know is an invitation that Jesus gave to all of his followers to come and to partake in we call it the Last Supper. And now today we call it communion because it's a way of gathering together those that love Jesus Christ to receive of his body and his blood. Lord, we pray for the things that are going on in our lives here today. A lot of different things going on in people's lives that are just very trying times, trials and issues that are beyond our control. And that's why we come to you today, Lord, asking you to intervene in ways that only you can, or just to allow us to vent to you as we pray to you. I'm just saying, Lord, I don't know how much more I can take. And I hate seeing suffering. I hate being in this place at this time. I'd rather that there'd be much joy and happiness. But I'm glad the joy is still there, but it's still surrounded by a lot of doom and gloom. But we know that you're coming again. And that should give us that blessed hope, the joy that comes from knowing that Christ is coming again. May we be ready when that day comes. Lord, be with our loved ones as they struggle, as they even don't even know that they're probably struggling. But thank you that we can be there when we can. And so, Lord, we lift up to you this service today, that you would come and do what you are so good at doing, and that is to transform our hearts and to transform our minds, to be placed heavenward and be thinking about you and how you want to work in us and through us each and every day. Thank you for being the God that you are, and thank you that we can talk to you and we can leave all of our cares and burdens at your feet here this morning as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, call to worship. I heard that. Thank you. It comes from Psalm 138. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
I sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. For your name is great, sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
I give.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
That's much better. Okay. If we say that we do not have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take some time right now in silence, just as we pray to the Lord and ask him to show us the sins in our lives and to confess them to him, as well as thank him for the many answers to prayer that we see going on in our lives as well. Let's go to him right now in silence. Just you and God alone, we pray. Lord, forgive us for not taking enough time to confess our sin to you this morning. We can take a shower, we can take a bath, and Lord, we know that it takes a while. We don't even give you that much time here this morning. May you speak to our hearts even after we get done with this brief order of confession and forgiveness. So most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son, and who laid down his life for us so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen.
Thank you.
Dismissed from up on the platform there. And as I remember what Dan Winkiewicz said last Sunday, did he say he was going to bring the perfect message? I remember that part. But then he went on to say, like, don't expect a perfect message, because I don't have a perfect message here either. But well, the kids can now leave if they want to go to the fireside room for some Sunday school kind of a thing there. You're dismissed, kids. And I saw you get up, so you reminded me that I needed to say that. All right. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning. It comes to us in the New Testament. If you can't stand, that's okay. You can remain seated as well. But God's word comes to us in 1 Corinthians. So we're going to be going to the letters of the New Testament that were written, a lot of them were written by Paul, the Apostle Paul, and some of the other disciples and some other people that have their names on these letters, of things that were going on in the churches in whom they were written to or people that they were talking about as well. So I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 12b through 20. Now, you remember what I've said about Corinthians before, haven't you? You don't want to be the pastor of the church of Corinth. Well, here we are. I'll talk about it today. I'd like to skip this book, but I can't. It's what we have before us today. And I read in Jesus' name. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. In other words, doesn't understand. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can you find himself among those who do not understand? And say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying. You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians and to the church in Corinth, helping them to see what's important at this time when it was written, and important for us to hear again today, even though it's close to 2,000 years later. But Lord, you are the author of the Bible and of this letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians that is important to them, so it must be important to us today too. May you speak to our hearts, help us to keep our minds off of the Super Bowl game today, and may we concentrate on your word as it is loaded with Super Bowl information and guidance and good words here that will last for eternity, not something that will be done in just a few hours and forgotten a year later or so. So we just pray that you'd be with us as we hear your word today. I ask you to help me to preach your word as you would want me to as well. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I know it's communion, so I got to be shorter than normal. So hang in there. I'll try to do that. But the Apostle Paul, as he speaks to the church in Corinth, he focuses on the gifts that are building up the church, building up the body of Christ, building up the bride of Christ. The church is often referred to as the bride to the groom that Jesus is to the church. So Paul he's writing a letter from Ephesus to this church that he started in Corinth, that is in modern-day Greece, and it's a huge city. It is also a trade path that has to go through Corinth to go to the east, and the east comes and goes to the west, so it's kind of a hub that takes place there. There's a lot of activity, a lot of people that are coming and going and moving, very motivational society that people are on the go all the time by ships. Today we have that today by cars, SUVs, vehicles, pickups, trucks, on the go, moving. So the church has been influenced in Corinth by the people who have come to trust and to believe in Jesus Christ, but even though that they have come to know about Jesus, they also still bring with them their baggage of what they once were, what they once did in their lives, even though they've been forgiven, but it also brings some of that baggage into the church. And there's a lot of problems in the church in Corinth. That's why I say, you don't want to be the pastor of this church. There's a lot of issues that are happening here because of where they are at in the city of Corinth. Now, Corinth is a very large city in Greece. And the Greeks, who are Gentiles, are known for their philosophers. They're known for their universities. They're known as a place where that's where you want to go to learn about a lot of different things because there's so much coming in from the east part of the world as well as the west. They intersect there. It spreads this way and that way. So it's really a think tank of where people can go and get really educated, and we're encouraged to go to Greece to get that education that is there. It's a lot like the Harvards we have of today or the Yale that we have in the U.S., Princeton, just colleges that people go to learn things that they probably would not have learned otherwise from their instructors. So Christianity, to the normal Greek person, Christianity was just another religion, another belief system, like Corinth was a place where they had so many gods. And it was Paul, when he first went there, he says, I want to tell you about the unknown God. You may have hundreds or thousands of different gods, but I'm going to tell you about the unknown God, because there was a place that told people that in case they missed a God, here's the unknown God. We pray to that God. But Paul is saying, hey, this is the unknown God who's Jesus Christ and who's the one that's come to save you from your sins. All these other gods that you have can't do that and will not do that. We have a God here that came back from the dead. He resurrected. And so therefore, some people were wanting to hear that. But for the most part, a lot of people didn't want to hear that. They just said, leave us alone. I have my own way. I have my own God that I pray to and that I go to. I don't need to have another one come in and upset my life. To the Greek, and you'll find it in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Greeks looked at Christianity as foolishness. That's how they viewed Christianity. To hear anything about Jesus Christ and eternal life was foolishness to them. They had their own ways. They had their own gods that they would pray to. And get this. Aphrodite was one of the big ones that they would worship, also known as Venus by the Romans. And this was up on the the high place there in Athens. They built a huge idol, a huge statue of Aphrodite up there. And she was also known in other places throughout Greece. But she also had a religion, and people would come to her, because there was thousands of prostitutes that were associated with the worship of Aphrodite. She was the god of fertility. In other words, she was the god of sex. And that's where people went. And they would say, well, they're doing their religious duty by going to the temple and paying their respects to Aphrodite and also being involved in the activity of having a prostitute. That's Corinth in kind of a nutshell. Gives you an idea of the morality that is there, the things, how they thought. They thought they were better than anyone else who did not go there to learn from their places of higher education and to hear their philosophers. They were kind of the cutting edge of everything in that day and in that time. So it is no wonder why the church in Corinth, they had so many problems. And as you read Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there was also one letter that we don't have that Paul wrote to them. There's actually three Corinthian letters, but we only have two, 1 and 2 Corinthians. So this is really the second letter that Paul writes from Ephesus to the Corinthian church. And he's been getting some news from other people from Corinth of saying, Paul, we got this going on in our church. How are we going to handle this? What are we supposed to do with this? This has kind of come in, and we're now it's a part of the church, and how do we deal with this? So that's why Paul is writing this letter. He's giving advice, he's giving guidance, and he wants to teach the congregation there about things that they don't know how to handle or what to do with what's going on there. So he turns to, well, here are the gifts that build up the church. And these are spiritual gifts. They say spiritual gifts because they're gifts that only God can give. They do not come from a person. They don't come because you want it to be your gift. It's a gift of grace that is given to the believer. Every Christian has a spiritual gift, if not more. But everyone has at least one. The Bible says that. And it's interesting that the only place where spiritual gifts are even talked about are in the book of Romans and in the book of Corinthians. You don't find anything more about the gifts outside of that, which is, I find that very interesting, because what do you find in the 13th chapter of Corinthians, of 1 Corinthians? It's called the chapter of love. You hear it read at weddings. You hear it read at different times, and you've probably read it many times too. It gives us the true definition of what love is and what love is not. More on that when we get there a little bit later here. So what are these two gifts, or what are the gifts that are in question here? There are just actually two of them. Paul says, you know, there's the gift of speaking in tongues, and there's the gift of prophecy. And what he just points out in a very clear way is, he's not saying that there's anything wrong with them, but it's just that the gift of tongues is to be done for personal edification unless there is someone there to interpret what the tongue says. If you don't have interpretation, then be quiet. Don't say anything. If you do have the gift of tongues, then ask that you may be given the gift to interpret what you just said. It's a heavenly language. Oftentimes, it's what we sometimes we hear of people who say, well, are you spirit-filled? Spirit-filled or anything that relates to the Holy Spirit, it's like you're not really a Christian unless you can speak in tongues, is kind of the bottom line there. But you don't find that in the scriptures. It's a gift. You don't overemphasize it. The gifts, and there are many of them that we have given to us. Like I said, in the book of Romans chapter 12, you're going to find what these gifts are, some of them. You're going to find some in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. They give you a list of what they are. But different people think there's like over 20 different gifts that you find in the scriptures, and they have their ways of pointing that out to us. I'm not going to get into each one of them. I'm just saying that their spiritual gifts are very, very important in any church. And everyone has at least one. And some of you have more than one. You may not even know what your gift is. But other people will remind you of saying, like, you know, I see this in you. You are very good at doing this, or you like doing this within the church. And you kind of go like, really? I didn't know that. I just enjoy doing that. A lot of times we learn what our spiritual gift is through other people. They tell us what you are good at doing and seeing and wanting to be involved in the church. Some who think they have different gifts, well, if they bug you, they probably don't have them. They probably don't have that gift. So Paul is saying, if you want to edify the church, it's the gift of prophecy. If somebody comes into the church when the gift of prophecy is being talked about, it's usually very uplifting. People can understand it. It's even if you have a non-believer who comes in the church, they hear the gift of prophecy being preached or talked about or given in a church setting, they'll be encouraged by it, and they'll see their sin. They will want to receive forgiveness. They will just say, like, wow, this is really something. That's where you get the amen. Have you been to a church where they go like, amen? You know, the person who says amen usually is like they agree with what they're hearing. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, when you're a Lutheran, you don't say amen. Hey, hey, hey. You know, when you're a Lutheran, you probably go, Or, yep, yep. That's how Lutherans do it, you know. But amen is when you agree on something that you've heard and you go like, wow, I needed to hear that. Amen to that. Or hopefully I say an amen, that means other people will take notice of what was just said. Well, Paul is saying, when it comes to the gift of tongues, no one understands it, of what is being said. But when it comes to the gift of prophecy, and there's others that are building up the church, you understand what is being said, and that's where the amen comes in. It's like, oh, yeah, amen. Sometimes maybe hallelujah, glory. If Dave was still here, he'd be saying that, wouldn't he, Jan? Hallelujah. So Paul is talking about what are the gifts that build up the church. That's more important. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with speaking in tongues. It's just, that's for the person. Personal. Prophecy is for the church at large, for the believers, and they will understand it. And that's why he says, I'd rather speak five words that people can hear me say than speak a volume on things they don't understand. It'd just be like going to Walmart and you're listening to someone speak in Spanish. You know, you don't know what they're saying. I don't know what they're saying. But they understand each other. And so I would rather that they would speak in English so I could understand what they're saying. It's that way in the church too. Nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. It's just there's a time and a place. And Paul talks about that with the Corinthians. If you speak in tongues, then there better be someone who can interpret what is said. If there's no interpretation, then it should stop. And that's for keeping order in the church. He goes on after what I'm saying here today, he goes on to the order of service when it comes to worship. There's got to be order into the service when people come together of believers. But we're not going to get into that here today. This is talking about spiritual gifts that only God can give to the person who believes in his son, Jesus Christ. The Corinthians believed that they called them super apostles. They had people that they held up very high, as called them super apostles, and Paul is just saying, no. You're acting too much like a Greek. You think you own the cattle on 1,000 hills when you don't own any of them, but you're just thinking you do. You're puffed up. You're proud. Paul is saying, every believer has been given a gift by God. Some have been given more, but it will always bring where a person does it out of humility and out of humbleness, not out of being proud. The purpose of a spiritual gift is always to build up the believers in the church. They're not out there to make themselves be puffed up or think I'm somebody, but they're there to build up the church. And that's where you come into the picture. How do you build up the church? How are you building up Harbor of Joy? That's very important. Because God is really in charge of us doing that together. If I don't do something out of love, then it can't be a spiritual gift. It's something that I do to focus on Christ and have others to focus on him. And I love that, and that voice comes out of love, then I'm on the right track. But it's always to build up. It's not a wrecking ball. Spiritual gifts are never a wrecking ball where they come into a church and just plow over things, hurt people. That's not what a spiritual gift is. Clock is against me. I'm just going to close in saying this. There have been many, many churches who have split over the speaking in tongues. It happens in America quite often. It's not the Spirit of God that causes splits. The Spirit of God always brings unity, unless it goes against God's word. Then it's okay to do something different. But spiritual gifts will always make us come together. It will always bring order into the life of the church. It is a good thing when the spiritual gifts are being exercised by those who God has given those gifts to. As it says in chapter 13, which we have heard many things from there, in the very beginning of chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians, it says this. It says, this is the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, meaning I understand a lot of things about God's word, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and everything I have and surrender my body to the flames, in other words, be a martyr, die because I want to help people, but if I don't have love, I gain nothing. In verse 13, same chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it ends with this. It talks about words of faith and hope, which are wonderful words. But it says that the greatest of them all is what? It's love. So that's really what we need to deal with in our own hearts and our own lives. The love of Christ, is the love living in me or not? If I don't have love, I'm probably the biggest hypocrite there is. And maybe that's why it's turning a lot of people off. Build up the church through the gifts that God has given you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we feel like we've just been at the Super Bowl. We are winners, every one of us, because of Jesus Christ and Him living in us and through us. May we be excited about Jesus as much as people plan and get excited about watching a football game that takes place today. We'll hear a lot of things. Some people can't wait to see what the commercials are going to be. Some people can't wait to see what's going to be happening during halftime. But we can be assured that whatever we see and hear will have nothing to do with Jesus Christ and getting us to focus on Him. So protect us today. I pray, that's my prayer today, that we are protected from what we will hear and what we will see from the world. It's going to be all worldly things that try to tell us that this is great, this is wonderful, and you are a nobody unless you agree with what you hear and what you see here today, because it costs millions of dollars. Lord, help us to get excited about just serving you, even if it's done in a very humble way. May our motivation always be to be the salt and to be the light in this world that is dark and sinful. But you have transformed us to be like Jesus Christ. So be with us as we come to your table today as well. In humility, we are getting more than what we deserve as we partake from your table, your body, and of your blood that was given for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, was that the best sermon you ever heard? Oh, did I hear an amen? Okay, all right, that's it. You're good Lutherans. Do want to just say a couple things here about communion. You do not have to be a member of Living Word Fellowship to partake, okay? Hear an amen? You know, if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're on His path. You're going with Him and toward Him. You want Him in your life. Communion is for you. He invites all who love Him to come. Receive His body and blood. So don't sit and say, like, well, I'm not a member here, I can't go. Well, you've probably been taught that in some place where you've had church or gone to church. But that's not the case here. You're invited to come. You're free. You don't have to. Don't want to either. And just want you to know that you'll be excused. Ushers will come and they will dismiss you by pew. Got two stations. One here is where you come and you'll just walk and receive the body and the blood of Jesus here, and you go back and sit down. If you want to come up front, you'll be served up front. You can kneel. You don't have to kneel. You can stand there and just stay there as long as you want. You want to kneel and pray and talk to God alone, you can do that. When you're done, you just get up and come back down and sit where you want to sit. So that's kind of how we do it here. And if you don't want wine, you just hold your hand like this, and you'll be given grape juice. And if you don't see that, you'll be given wine. If you can't walk up here, we will make sure that you get served where you are. So I'll take that fear out of your way. Go like, I don't want to walk up there. It's just up to you. We'll come back to you and serve you as well. We don't want to miss you on any of this. So with that, I will do the words of institution here. In the night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it. He gave it to His disciples and He said, "This is My body. Take it and eat it. This is what I've done for you." After He gave them the bread, He picked up the cup. He said to His disciples, "This is My blood. Drink all of it for the remission of your sins. And do this in remembrance of Me." So there's something special that takes place in communion when we come to Jesus by faith. So I'm going to ask the servers to come, those of you that are serving, and the ones who do the baskets. I think I've got a couple kids that were going to come up here and help with that. And once we get set up here, I'll have Jack will come be the usher, and he will usher you to come if you'd like to come.
Thank you. So these lyrics are not up on the screens, but we're going to sing the last verse of this hymn because this is what it says. It says, "This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus." These lyrics aren't in there, aren't on the screen, but we know this part. Again, it's, "This is all my hope and peace. And this is all my righteousness." So we are going to declare that as a family, as a church body. Jesus, you are all of our hope and all of our peace. And you are all of our righteousness. This is all my hope and peace. And this is all my righteousness.
you, Melissa. I invite you to stand as we will recite the Apostles' Creed together, followed by the Lord's Prayer and then the benediction, and then a surprise after you've been seated. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You may be seated. Now comes a surprise. Come on, kids, come on up here. We're going to sing a song that all of us old people even know. But you old people, you don't have to sing it. I'm going to sing it with them because I feel like a kid. Oh, let me get back here. Okay, you ready? Oh, here. Let me turn this off here. In his hands. Get the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain. In his hands, he's got the wind and the rain. In his hands, he's got the wind and the rain. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. That's it? He's got you and me, brother. Go ahead. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. Go in peace. And serve the Lord. You are dismissed. Amen. Amen.